Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Spirit of God to stir our heart to produce a willingness to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. We understood that there is an inclusive reality about a willing heart. You're not excluded. If you're here this morning, you can be willing to do what the Lord would use you for. Amen. And when we understood that there is an impact as a result of a willing heart, there was a work that God accomplished for the cause of Christ. And so we understood yesterday morning about a willing heart and how powerful that is. But this morning, if the Lord would help me, I want to preach for just a few moments on this sequential thought, if you will, a wonderful calling. You understand this morning that in conjunction with a willing heart, there always comes a wonderful calling. If you make yourself willing to the Lord, if you make yourself available to Him, He will call you and put you into the ministry. Amen. And we understand this morning there's many callings. There's a lot of different callings that could be placed upon your life. A lot of times we think about the calling of God. We think automatically about the call to preach. Or we think about the call to go to the foreign mission field. Or we think about a call to be an evangelist or something along those lines. But this morning I want you to understand that the call of God is very diverse. There's just no telling what God might call you to do. We understand in this passage of Scripture that what God is calling Bezalel to do is very different. He's calling him to be a worker for the church. Amen. And so it's a very interesting calling. May I just say this morning by way of introduction before we look into this, that God might just be calling some young man here this morning to do something very special. It could be that he's calling you this morning to do something as simple as surrender your talent to him to be a builder. Amen. He could be calling you, young man, this morning to be a plumber. He could be calling you this morning to be a man that can carry out some type of trade. It could be that he's calling some of you young ladies to be a helper in the church and to lead the young ladies and to be the one that would head up the cleaning committee or to be the one that would head up the ladies group. It could be that God is calling you for something like that, and don't ever forget the calling of God on your life, no matter what it is very important to the work of God. There is coming a day down the road where your church will be operating because of your generation. You say, preacher, I'm just 12 years old or I'm just 15 years old. I understand that, but there will come a day, and it will be sooner than you realize, where you will be the one that others are looking to. There'll be a building project, and the church will need to be expanded, and the preacher will need somebody that knows how to build. The preacher will need somebody that knows how to do electrical work. The preacher will need somebody that knows how to do some plumbing. The preacher will need somebody that'll know how to lead and know how to be a leader within the church. And it's now, and now is the time that you make up your mind that whatever God calls you to do, you're willing to do it. It don't matter. You say, well, preacher, I kind of want to be a preacher. Well, the Lord might let you do that, but that might not be what God wants you to do. God might want you to do something different. And I just want to help you this morning to understand whatever it is that God will want you to do. If you submit yourself to that and you allow God to use you in that, it'll be the greatest life that you could ever live. It may not be what you saw of yourself. It may not be what you envisioned down the road, but it'll be the very best life that you could ever live if you'll just allow God to do with you what He wants to do through you. Several different callings in the Bible. We understand that. There's a common call. There's a common call in the Bible. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so there's a common call to every man, woman, boy, and girl to be saved by the grace of God. We understand that to be the first base before you get anywhere else. You got to be saved by the grace of God. And so there's a common call found in the scripture, and that is that you would be saved. You would accept the call of salvation, and you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior. But then there is what I call a collective call, and that is the call that is placed upon the local church or the body of Christ. The church of God has a collective call to come together as a body, as one, and accomplish the task of the New Testament and the local New Testament church. Does that make sense to you? But then there's a concentrated call that we find in the Bible, and that is the call that is placed on individuals specifically for you to do something special within the working of the church and the working of God. And so as we look here in our text, we find that concentrated call placed on this man by the name of Bezaleel. And so for a few moments, I just want to examine this call, and I'll be done here in just a minute. I see some things about this call that is interesting to me. I see first off that this call is a pronounced call. It's a pronounced calling. The Bible said in our text, and Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called. See, you need to understand this morning that the calling of God is something that everybody should know about. The calling of God on your life is not something that's a secret. It's not something for you to be embarrassed about. It's not something that you think within yourself, I don't want nobody to know that this is what God wants me to do, because I just don't think that it's what I really want for my life. But the calling of God is a pronounced call. If God places His hand on you and He calls you this morning to do a task for Him, may I say, what a high honor it is, what a privilege it is, and you should want all the people to know, hey, that's what God's called me to do. It could be that even this morning there's somebody that God's dealing with about a specific call, a concentrated call on your life, and it might just be good today for you to come around an old-fashioned altar and say, hey, I just want everybody to know that this is what God's called me to do. This is what God's dealt with my heart about, and I just want everybody to know. You want to know what that'll do? That'll bring some accountability in your life. That'll bring some accountability that when you're going down your the roads of life that life may bring you, and you run into those obstacles that would deter you, you'll know there's a group of people that know about what God's put on your heart and convicted you about doing, and it will help you to be accountable if you'll just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I know that you're calling me. I know that you put a call on my life, and I just want everybody to know what you're dealing with me about. Can I say it's a pronounced calling? All the nation of Israel looked at old Bezaleel and said, that man's got God's call on him. We understand that he's got God's hand on his life, and it's important for us to understand that the calling of God on our life shouldn't be anything that's hidden, shouldn't be anything we're ashamed of, but it should be something that we would shout from the rooftop and bless his holy name, that he would see us worthy, not because we're worthy, but because he's made us worthy. And this morning we got to understand that it's a joy to serve Jesus. It's wonderful to serve the Lord, and I bless his name for the calling of God all my life. And then I see, not only is it a pronounced call this morning, but it's a personal call. This call that came to Bezaleel, Brother Jeremiah, it was a personal call. When I think about the personal call that God would place on his children, it absolutely blows my mind, because I know who I am at the end of the day. I know who I look at in the mirror every morning, and I know the failures. I know the mess ups. I know the times that I fall on my face, and I know that I'm unworthy. But to think that he would place a personal call on my life, and that he would know my name, it just blows my mind this morning. Blows my mind. The Bible said in our text that he calls Bezaleel by name. Calls him by name. Did you know this morning that the Lord knows your name? The Lord knows your name. The Bible says, are not five sparrows, in Luke 12, Jesus is talking, sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. That's good. I'm glad the sparrows aren't forgotten. But he wasn't just describing how the Lord felt about the sparrows. He said, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. You want to know what the Lord was saying in Luke chapter number 12? He was saying that each one of you are more special to him than you'll ever understand. You say, preacher, I don't understand how God could call me. I know you don't, but what you need to understand is how special that you are to him. And this morning, he knows your name. A few months ago, my pastor called me. He called me, and I answered the phone. I was at work. And I said, hey, Pastor Keith. I said, what you doing? He said, well, I just wanted to call you and encourage you. I said, all right. He said, I just wanted to let you know that the Lord knows your name. I said, well, all right. I said, I believe that. He said, no, no, really. The Lord knows your name. I said, okay. I believe that. He said, I'm going to just tell you. He said, are you available on, and he named a date for our tent meeting that's coming up. And I said, yeah, I don't. Turns out my schedule is really wide open. I mean, it turns out. I said, yeah, I can preach that Wednesday morning. He said, well, it really fired me up. He said, I was in my prayer closet and I had one service left. And he said, I had no idea. And he said, the Holy Ghost said, David Williams. He said, so I just wanted to encourage you, not only ask you to preach, let you know that the Lord knows your name. I said, wow. Hey, you want to know what? Sometimes when I'm praying, Miss Rebecca, and your name comes to mind, and I pray for you, Brother Jonathan, on Sunday morning when I'm getting ready for church, and I think about Brother Jonathan Barker, and I think about Brother David Edwards, I think about Brother Alan Barker, I think about these other, me and Brother Graham, they come to my mind, and I'm praying, and Brother Brandon, you want to know what that is, folks? That's the Lord knowing your name. It ain't because I'm anything. It ain't because I need to pray for you, because I'm some great prayer warrior. It's just because in the portals of glory, the God of heaven is saying, hey, I know his name, and I know Brother Jeremiah's name, and I know Miss Rebecca's name, and won't you just call their name in prayer, because I know who they are, and I want you to pray for them. He knows your name. Some of you young people, the Lord's brought your names to my mind. I pray for you. I said, well, why is that? Is that because you just sit around? No, it's because he knows your name. You're on his mind. He's thinking about you. And all across the road of folks that know who you are, that are saved, the Lord will whisper in their heart, hey, pray for so-and-so. You may not even know it, but it's all because he knows your name. And there's more value in the relationship between you and God than we'll ever understand. I see this as a personal calling. In Exodus chapter number 17, this is interesting. We understand that Bezalel's grandpa, Hur, he was the man that stayed up the hands of Moses in a time of battle. Bezalel, no doubt, all of his life, he had probably heard people talk about his papa. He had sat around the campfires, no doubt, and he had heard the story about how Moses' hands would begin to get weak and the enemy would begin to overcome the nation of Israel in the battle. And no doubt he heard about when Hur would pick up the hand of the man of God and raise it toward heaven, and how that God would send victory again. And God sent victory by the hand of his granddaddy Hur. No doubt they sat around the campfire.